You.
Like good old-fashioned smash-mouth football, right?
This is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Brought to you in part by Yingling Lager. Respect, it's earned. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals. Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CullenElectricCincinnati.com. Cullen Electric, wiring for today's world. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing, choose a pro, choose Nixco. Skyline Chili, feeling good. It's Skyline time. Lycan's Energy Solutions, powered by Lycan. Belterra Park, one amazing place to play. Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing. Changing lives through better hearing. And by Furniture Fair. For style and flair, it's Furniture Fair. This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go, 6:07 on News Radio 700 WLW. It is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman, two solid hours of all things Bengals in the NFL to get to. Toss in a little college football as well. We'll get to the headlines first, and then we go. News Radio 700 WLW Bengals update. It's official. Tyler Eifert having back surgery. Team placed him on injured reserve today. He will miss the remainder of the season. The recovery time expected to take 4 to 6 months. Bengals are on the bye this week. Breaking this afternoon, the federal appeals court lifting the injunction that was blocking the NFL from suspending Dallas Cowboy running back Ezekiel Elliott. That clears the way for the six-game suspension. At this moment, he is officially on suspension and not allowed in the Cowboys facility until November 23rd. Cowboys are on the bye this week. They are 2-3 on the season. NFL tonight, battle of 4-1 teams as the Panthers face the Eagles. Catch that on Fox Sports 1360. College football, the Bearcats travel to Tampa to face South Florida Saturday night at 7:30. Get the latest on the Bearcats with the Luke Fickell Show coming up after us at 8 o'clock here on News Radio 700 WLW. Major League Baseball playoffs, Cubs and Nationals, Game 5 in D.C. tonight. First pitch, 8:08, Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs, Gio Gonzalez for the Nationals. The winner gets the Dodgers starting Saturday with that series. In the American League, it's the Astros and Yankees in the American League Championship Series. Game 1 tomorrow night. College hoops, Dayton basketball coach, former Dayton basketball coach Don Donaher, was named winner of this year's Dean Smith Award, given annually to the by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association to an individual in college basketball who embodies the spirit and values of the late North Carolina coach. Donaher won 437 games, leading Dayton to 9 NCAA tournaments, an NIT championship in 1968, and a runner-up finish in the 1967 National Championship game against UCLA. Donaher will be presented the award at a dinner in Dayton on December 13th. And finally, soccer, FC Cincinnati can clinch a playoff spot with a win at Toronto FC 2 on Saturday night. They could clinch that playoff spot tonight if Orlando City B ties tonight or loses tonight at Tampa Bay. For everything else you've missed, check out the blog at 700WLW.com. The blog is service of 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you're moving, remodeling, just in need of some space, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. On the blog right now, Tyler Eifert reaction, Anthem reaction, Coach Cal going toe-to-toe with the writer who questioned him about Kentucky and the FBI investigation today, podcast with Andre Smith, George Iloka, and more all in one spot, the blog 700WLW.com. Up next, we have a season saved, we have a season-ending injury, and much more to discuss as we continue. I think we're set. Let's do it. He's Rocky. I'm Lance. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at 610. Let's check traffic and weather together on News Radio 700 WLW.
From the UCL Traffic Center, UC Health, we know that mammograms save lives. Schedule your mammogram by calling 584-PINK. A look in an accident cleaning up Plainfield between Blue Ash and Galbraith. What's left of a minor wreck, westbound 74 on the ramp to Coleraine in the right lane. Your slow 75 Mitchell to Paddock Shepherd off and on through 275 southbound through Lockland and western to the bridge. 71 King to the tunnel southbound. Also slow south Field Zirtle into the Kenwood Cut. Northbound Dana to Pfeiffer. Your next traffic update in 10 minutes. I'm Bruce Davis on News Radio 700 WLW.
Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 52 degrees. It'll be sunny tomorrow with a high of 74. Nice on Saturday, sunny, a high in the low 80s. And then on Sunday, partly sunny. There is a chance of showers and storms, a high in the mid-70s. The cool down begins next week. That's the forecast from your severe weather station, News Radio 700 WLW.
611 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Roundtable Show, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. Don't forget live entertainment here in the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill every Friday and Saturday night. Friday night features Airwave at 8 and Kelsey Mira Tuna, I believe it is, on Saturday as well. All right, first things first, clean sweep tonight. We all, see, you followed my lead. I will not steer you wrong. We all went with the grilled salmon.
I rarely don't follow your lead.
I know, and now you've changed your mind. You say, wait, he's a connoisseur of good food.
That guy knows what he's talking about.
I do.
It was good.
Chris,
salmon
Rocky,
was great.
Grilled salmon with some vegetables and some potato things.
I'm going to do this on air so you can't say no. I think we're going to try out the root beer float here later on. Here at... Yes, as in like 10 minutes.
That would be out of the bounds of my current caloric intake.
Oh, my God. You're so disgusting.
I've developed a discipline. I would think as a former fine-tuned athlete, you would appreciate discipline.
Former is in all caps.
Right? I have fit into a weight box where I fluctuate about a pound either way. In a year past my resetting of my diet, I'm right in that box. You're not making me think out of the box or eat out of the box.
Look, Liz Bonus tells us on our show, look, you gotta allow yourself cheat days. You go like all the time hard. Then one day, Lance, you're just going to fall off the cliff and you're going to eat pies for days and days at a time.
Well, rest assured.
Listen to me. I know a little bit about this. So just give yourself a little bit, like a half of a root beer float. And, you know, right?
Rest assured of this. If I'm going to cheat, it's not going to be with you. So, what? I don't even know what to
do. Whoa, wait a minute. What's going on?
Maybe I'll take a half a root beer. What? How ridiculous
would
that
be? Worse. What?
How ridiculous would a half a root beer float be? I should be ripped if I did a half one. It'd be either go full or you don't go at all. All right, can we agree on this? We sit here tonight with a season that has been saved. Because I'll be real honest, and I got up Sunday morning, and everybody's like, what's wrong? I said, you don't understand the ramifications of today. This may just be one football game, but this will play a large role in determining what my life is like for the next 3 months in terms of what I'm going to talk about and what people are going to talk about when it comes to the Bengals.
No, it was like the season's been saved, or should they fire the coach?
That's right.
Should they draft Sam Darnold in the first round? Should they start trying to lose games so they get a top-five pick? Yeah, those are the conversations, but you know, the last couple of weeks, this has been a completely different team. I think the defense has played consistently well most of the year, but the offense is night and day better. You see a coordinator that's allowing his athletes, especially his quarterback, to do things that they're comfortable with, to play and to not think and to react. And it's working out well, getting some contributions from some young guys, and it's great. Season turnaround.
We'll circle through all of that tonight between now and 8, but let's get to the big news of the last 24 hours. It is Tyler Eifert, who's having back surgery, third back surgery of his career, a football career from Notre Dame to now. And Rocky, everybody's running through scenarios of what it means. Based on the type of surgery and the words being used, I think the first question is how his way of life is going to be going forward in terms of being pain-free and being able to walk upright. I'm not even worried about football at this point. I'm worried about what Tyler's going to be. He's only 27 years old. This is a third back surgery.
Third back surgery, and that's something you don't want to do a ton of messing with. It's one thing for your knees to be bad and have a bunch of ankle surgeries, but you know the back, that's that supports your frame every moment of every day. So yeah, I'm sure that's... It's a scary time for Tyler Eifert, let's be honest, because you're dealing with, not only football issues of, hey, can I play, can I get my career back on track, and man, it hasn't worked out the way I've wanted it to, but then also, like, man, I want to be able to walk around and not be in a brace or in a wheelchair the rest of my life either. So it's tough. I just feel bad for Tyler Eifert.
I do, too.
Because by all accounts, people I've talked to in the organizations, you know, it'd be one thing if he was a guy that was running the streets at night and he wasn't lifting, he wasn't taking care of his body, and he was drinking, and he was all... No, but I think he takes good care of himself, he gets it, he treats himself like a professional and trains that way, and there's just nothing you can do. You know, sometimes life deals you a bad hand, and right now, it's for all the success and the wonderful gifts he's been given, he's been dealt a bad hand with some of the injuries, so it's hopefully he can come back from it. We'll see.
We've talked about this before, but I'm going to say it again. I don't get the criticism for and the jokes made and the play on words with his name, and he's a China doll, and he's made of porcelain, and I he's not trying to get hurt. He's 27 years old. He's in a contract year. I can guarantee you Tyler Eifert is not trying to get hurt, and I can guarantee you it's not because, as you alluded to, he's not slacking off and putting himself in a position to get hurt, but he's gone through a shoulder and an elbow and his head and the ankle and the back, and it's just an accumulation of things in a position where you can't run from contact. And, I feel awful for Tyler Eifert.
No, I do too, and I've dealt with that, like with injuries I've had. Certainly nothing there that serious, but when there are things that are out of your control. I mean, and that's what's so frustrating is, and from my perspective, is, God, you train, you do everything, you eat stuff you would make most people puke, right, just to make sure you can keep your body in tune. You do all these crazy things, and through no fault of your own, you still get injured. But you're still getting looked at the same odd way from the coaches. Like, is he really hurt? What's going on here? The trainers look at you and go, well, you know, you get those things. And I know he's getting that. And of all the things that have been tough about the NFL, you know, I've been fired a few times. You've been, you know, demoted, all that. It pales in comparison to the mental anguish of trying to deal with injuries day in and day out. Every day he's going to the treatment. Every day he's getting looked at with his back. Every day he's meeting with chiropractors and doing all this. It is mentally challenging to deal with that, and I know what he's going through.
And you've mentioned this before, that aspect, along with the looks of just being so separated, isolated from everybody else while you do your rehab. And we talked about Homer Bailey and out throwing Devin Mesoraco and Tyler Eifert. It's just you don't feel a part of it, do you?
No, not at all. And you know, the days when it's a grind and you're playing, but you're kind of banged up, you're going, you're like, God, I'd give anything for a day off. And then when you get that because you're injured and you find yourself, you're over there, everyone's over here, you're over there, you're isolated, no one's talking to you, you're kind of just a ghost. You've faded into the wall. You'd give anything to be back out there. And that's the reality. Now, I will say this, Lance. It's not over for Tyler Eifert. I've seen guys. Kyle VandenBosch is a great defensive end. He had early in his career had two ACL injuries. Mm. So he was a second round pick. It's like, okay, this guy's done, right? There's no way it's not going to work out. And he was able to get it back together. And he played another 8-10 years, right? No injuries. It's not done. The story hasn't been written on him. He's just got to get that thing healthy, and hopefully things can progress from there.
It's sad how the story in terms of a contract and his future have progressed to, we were once debating, man, do you give Tyler Eifert, do you re-sign before this season? Do you give him an extension? Do you lock him up for 3 or 4 years because there's risk there? And then more of, do you franchise tag him next season and just kind of hedge your bets and get him for a year at $10 million? Now you're to the point he's not going to get a multi-year deal, at least right away. He's not going to be franchised for next season. Does it come down to one of those contracts, a prove-it-to-us deal with maybe some incentives? And
yeah.
Maybe that's the Bengals. Maybe it's not, but that's really the best he's looking at, is it not?
No, I think it is. No team's going to give him a multi-year deal. It's going to be a one-year, hey, prove to us you can stay healthy, prove to us you still got it, and it'll be, I won't say a minimum salary deal. It'll be more than that, but, you know, maybe something in the $1.5 million sort of range, and, hey, look, we'll take a flyer on you for $1 million, which in NFL money isn't much. And, look, if you can show us you can play well, you can show us you can get through a 16-game season, then, yeah, we'll be happy to pay you that next contract. That's the situation. That's the reality for Tyler Eifert right now.
More on that and a focus on what it means for the Bengals going forward and what they have at the tight end position in addition to Tyler Eifert as we continue. Rocky Boyman, Lance McAllister, Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, 620. On News Radio 700, WLW. 625 on News Radio 700, WLW. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Yuengling Lager. Respect, it's earned. They present the Yuengling Live webcam, 700WLW.com. Rock wave to the live webcam on my blog at 700WLW.com. Good to see Tom Poom and his lovely wife here. We're playing Yuengling Plinko in the back of the room with many prizes to give away, very cool prizes to give away between now and 8 o'clock tonight. Quick check and preview of tonight's game brought to you by Kerry Toyota, best in town, KerryToyota.com. Battle of 4-1 teams, the Eagles at the Panthers. Winner becomes the second 5-win team in the NFL, joining the Kansas City Chiefs. Carolina's won back-to-back road games over New England and Denver. Quarterback matchup, Carson Wentz and Cam Newton. Good one tonight in Thursday Night Football. and you'll catch that on Fox Sports 1360. Rocky Boyman, Lance McAllister, the Bengals tight end situation. It could be for teams without better equipped roster-wise to deal with it, it could be devastating. I don't want to lessen the impact that Tyler has had over the years, but this year he had just four catches, and really he was a non-entity. They have seen a progression in Tyler Croft. He's not Tyler Eifert,
no.
But what have you seen in Tyler Croft?
No, I've seen a guy that, you know, I've seen this with players in the past, is, you know, they're kind of on a squad and they don't really do much, and a year goes by, a couple years, and they contribute, but you don't see that big game and really emerge, and then bang, they have a big one, which he did a couple weeks ago, and then you saw that carry over a little bit into last week's game. So sometimes they just need that one game, that shot of confidence that says, hey, I can do this, I can compete at a high level, I can make plays out here. So I think it's very good news for Tyler Eifert. He had that kind of emergence game, right, Tyler Croft.
Ruck, what I like, the last 2 weeks, Andy has targeted him 12 times. They've completed 10 of them. They've been crucial situations, third down situations, which means Andy's trusting Tyler Croft.
He is. I mean, that one, I forget the scenario, but it was that one crossing route on third down in the pouring rain,
yep.
And he threw it right there, and he had confidence that he was going to catch that ball, and he did. Now, what's going to be the true test is if he continues to have this kind of success and now he's on the radar, teams know him, and, hey, we're going to start to do some things to take this guy away. Can he have success in spite of all that? That'll be the next big hurdle for Tyler Croft, to see if he is kind of one of those next level type of players.
I want to take us back to around draft time, and I don't do this as I told you, Lance, to anybody, I was riding the O.J. Howard bandwagon with the Alabama Crimson Tide. I settled on Derek Barnett. I liked O.J. Howard. I could handle John Ross, but I wanted O.J. Howard for two reasons. I wanted to be able to pair him with Tyler Eifert in a two tight end offense, and I wanted him as the insurance policy for Eifert's health, and clearly that horse has left the barn. They could have gone that way. They didn't go that way. O.J. Howard hasn't set the NFL on fire. He has four catches.
But he will. Yeah,
I like him.
Yeah,
he's big and physical and a willing blocker, and
he has all the things that you can't teach. And, yeah, you're right. He's shown the ability to make big plays. He's in big games, both championship games. He can block. But, look, missed opportunity, nothing you can do about that now. I'm sure tight end will be a high priority come next draft, and I'm trying to think of, you know, Mike Gesicki coming out of Penn State will be a name that'll be hot. The kid from Wisconsin, you know, a few others come to mind, but that's a position group in today's NFL you're going to want to address, yes.
So much more to get to on this Thursday night. We remind you tomorrow is open to the public. The $25,000 Freaky Friday drawing on the gaming floor here from 5 to 9 p.m. Three entries will be selected every half hour to spin the prize wheel to win between $500 and $2,000 in bonus rewards here at Belterra Park Gaming. Rocky Boyman, Lance McAllister, we've only just begun. A lot of ground to cover with what took place with the Bengals last week, what might take place over the bye, and the outlook for the season ahead. As we continue with the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, on the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW. 6:36, News Radio 700 WLW. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park every Thursday night from 6 to 8 o'clock. Stadium will feature football beer specials on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. During all Bengals games, Stadium will be raffling off everything from coolers to Bengals tickets to jerseys and more. The Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? Hearing Solutions, now Acute Hearing, changing lives through better hearing. And, of course, Yingling Lager. Respect. It's earned. All right, you convinced me. We've placed the order. We're gonna have dueling root beer floats. We are high rollers.
We take
Rock.
Bets on
we are living large.
First,
we're
yeah, gonna, that's right.
Although I will
we're
say
so
this,
crazy.
I will say this: when that appeared on the menu, when I had high level negotiations and talks about this show back in the off season, when I saw the root beer float on there, I said that's a very underappreciated dessert. Is it a what do you do? You
no,
consider it a dessert?
It's a dessert? Yeah,
yeah.
But see,
that's a very underrated dessert.
You were all excited about it. You were selling it, and now you're reluctant to get one. And
yeah.
I got to be the guy
well,
to come in.
I'm a big talker.
And, yes, you're all
then,
talk.
Then
which
I,
is why you're
then I realize what
talk
I said.
Radio.
Exactly right. All right, the Bengals have stacked wins. Marvin's mantra: got to stack wins. They have a winning streak. They've won two in a row. They're playing their best football of the season. Is it good or bad the bye arrives now?
Considering the injuries, you know, especially the two cornerbacks, that's comes at the right time.
Drake and Adam Jones.
Definitely comes at the right time. If that weren't the case, you'd say, God, I wish you could keep this thing going. But I think injuries and health trump everything, so it happens to work out well for the Bengals.
Even Tyler Boyd with MCL strain, that'll give him another week or so. And I often hear this term, and maybe you can explain it more in depth. Coaches will talk during the bye week, we're going to take the time to self-scout. Give us the football 101 of what is entailed when you are self-scouting as a team during a bye week.
So the best way I can explain this is, you know, during the week when you're studying your opponent, you scout them, you look for tendencies, you look for what do they do on third down, what defenses do they run a lot on third down, what formations do we like on second and six. So you all these things. So essentially you're on a bye week, you do that to yourself, and you try to find, because you know the other team's doing it to you.
Yeah.
But when you self-assess, you self-evaluate, you self-scout, you look at, you may find tendencies, you're like, oh my God, on third and seven and the plus 40, 90. Hold on. What were we talking about?
Pause that point. Holy cow. Those are root beer floats, baby.
Nice.
Move that over so the webcam can see it. We're going to have to take a picture before these melt. That's good. All right. What were you saying?
I'm going to attempt to concentrate here. So you look for tendencies and things that may have passed you by that you didn't realize you were doing. Maybe you're really heavy in this tendency. We tended to pass 90% of the time out of this certain formation. So you do that. And you also look, you see what you did well. You say, hey, you know, in this situation, we've done well executing this particular play.
Yeah.
These particular plays, when you stack them all up with the first couple games, haven't really gotten us anything. Maybe we throw those out. Things we've done well, we'll do more of those. So it's a good time to kind of reset and see what's working well and what's not working well.
And I like the bye from the standpoint of, with a new offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor is still putting things in place and, as you say, sorting them out, keeping throwing away. This gives him a chance to reset and look at his couple of games, and I like that. It's like a pause button on the season for Bill Lazor.
And it's critical, Lance. It's a good, very good point you brought up, because he's in his second week, and this is when, you know, the more games you get, the more film is out there on you. So it comes at a good time for him, because now his other teams are catching up to him and what he does well and what his tendencies are. He has the opportunity to kind of counteract that and say, well, this is where I love the cat and mouse game. So they're watching us. They're thinking I'm going to do this. So I know that they're looking at these tendencies, so now I may try to track this sort of way. You know what I'm saying? I think it kind of comes at a good time as teams are figuring out what he does and what his MO is.
Along those lines of tendencies, when you were a player, how detailed was the presentation to you, and how much did you want to know in terms of going into a game? Did you know that this team did this 43% of the time? Was it that? Would you want to know that?
I did, yes and no, because I have also been burned on a tendency. Like, oh, they do this 90% of the time, and then in that particular game, they don't do that. They do the exact opposite.
So you've sold out to break up that play because you know exactly what it is, and then suddenly it's the other 10% this time.
I mean, when I played for the Chiefs, we had this tendency when – this is back when Ronnie Brown, they were running the Wildcat, right?
Yep.
So we had this thing we were going to do. And if they line up like this in the Wildcat, here's what we're going to do. We basically put 10, you know, 9 guys in the box because they're never going to pass, right?
Yeah.
Well, they threw a double pass over our head for 50. So,
oops.
Yeah, you got to take that with a grain of salt. And and here's what people don't understand. When you study film, you study tendencies, what you're trying to do as a defensive player, for instance, is whittle down the amount of things they can possibly do. You come to the line of scrimmage, and there's a hundred different plays they can run. Well, first thing you look at down and distance. Well, and that'll cut those plays in half. Then you look at formations. Well, it's 3-by-1. At a 3-by-1, they like these certain things. So now you've taken that half, you've cut it by half again. So you've taken 100 plays and using down and distance, formations, you know, film study, how guys' bodies lean, you've taken those 100 plays and morphed them down into like 3.
Yeah.
That's kind of how you do it. Personally, I was a guy that I didn't look at tendencies as much as I watched more film of myself, right, in practice. Because my thought was, it didn't matter what the other team did. As long as I know that I'm square on, if they do this, I do this every single time, I won't be surprised by anything.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of on a tangent here, maybe.
No, this
but
is good.
That's kind of how I approach it. Some guys, they really hone in. They want to get that playbook and say, wow, okay, you know, in this certain situation, you know, they like to do this. In this certain amount of time, I kept it in mind.
Yeah.
I thought through it, but I was more on making sure I knew what I was doing.
You know, it's funny, as you're explaining that, I remember what Adam Jones told us a couple of years ago on Bengals Line, talking about Vance Joseph, then the secondaries coach, now Broncos coach. And Adam loved Vance for that very reason. He said he would free my mind because he'd say, don't worry about this play, that play, or that play. In this situation, it's going to be this or that. And Adam said, I could go out on the field and focus on just this or that and not worry about the rest of the stuff.
Because it's daunting. You come to the line of scrimmage, you're like, what the hell are they going to do? They could do anything. Well, no, they can't do anything. If you're smart and you study film and you're a pro, you start to, again, whittle those things down, yep. And now you got just a few things to worry about instead of 50.
All right, that was such good analysis. Your reward is a root beer float as we continue.
You.
It's 6:43. It's the Roundtable Show from Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. News Radio 700 WLW. 6:46, News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Join the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill every Bengals game day. The stadium transform into Bengals Central and the place to be. The Bengals game day party features drink specials, DJ Airborne, giveaways, and a chance to win the game day top prize. Now, because I serve dual role of host, co-host of the show and game show host for our Plinko Yuengling, I did not get to try the root beer float during the break.
And I helped you. I offered you zero help.
Yes, thank you very much for that. Could you give me your early assessment of the root beer
float? It's phenomenal, man. It's like you said, a very underrated dessert.
Yes.
And it's,
there's an old school aspect to a root beer float.
That's right.
There's an appreciation.
Yeah, there's
that
a certain kind
there.
Of person goes
yes.
for the root beer float. You know?
Like you and I.
Like you and I.
I don't know what that means beyond that. In terms of self-scouting, if you're Bill Lazor and you're doing the look in the mirror this week, you're seeing a running game that you've maintained your balance with, but you're
yes,
not getting much return on your investment. And I was telling you, the amazing thing to me was, and I tweeted it as the drive was unfolding Sunday. Bengals are up by one. They get the ball with about 8 minutes left. And I said, man, do they have the running game to ground out this game, to grind it out and run out the clock? And Andy completing 5 of 6 on the drive. He scrambled once for a drive. They may have run it once or twice on the entire drive, but that's kind of fool's gold, isn't it, Rock? That eventually catches up with you.
No, it does. I mean, basically as an offense, there's about three things you have to, you know, you try to be good at, right? The quick passing game, which the Bengals clearly excel at. The deep passing game, right? Shots downfield, which the Bengals are at, and right now the run game, which is so right now two of the three mm-hmm. of those options I just said were not exactly excelling at. So it's only a matter of time before the defense starts adjusting. They get up, they start pressing. A good man-to-man coverage team is going to take away those short, quick routes. So what do? As a defense or as an offense, you got to be able to take some shots downfield, loosen up that coverage a little bit, and you got to be able to run the football. If you don't do those, if you're a one-trick pony, which
yep.
is kind of what we are right now, that's not good. Defenses figure that out very, very quickly and can take that away. That's what the NFL is. That's what you love about the NFL. They take away what you do well. And I'm surprised the Bills, and I think a little bit of that was weather related.
Yeah.
People think, oh, it's raining, that's a terrible time to pass. It's actually a really good time to pass because the defense is reacting and their footwork is terrible, where the offense can at least be controlled because you know where you're going to cut. You pass better almost in the rain. So that kind of worked out well. But the bottom line is, they got to find a way to run the ball better.
I still clearly the offensive line is still a work in progress. I think there's a little bit of incremental progress week to week. I still think Joe Mixon is like this close to.
Yep.
I mean, am I right? I mean,
I think so.
He had that run where he broke it to the left and then cut it outside even further and got to the corner and shook off a tackle, and it's like, oh, it's just a glimmer of what
yeah,
I think he can be.
He's learning how his guys are setting up blocks, which is part of the deal, and he's learning how to be a pro. He's learning how to play football at a very different tempo.
Speed.
Yeah,
yep, absolutely.
So but you're right. I think he's very, very close, which is exciting.
I wonder, while we're on this subject of the running game, and I hate to be the guy who complains about one thing, gets it, and then changes his mind and complains about another level of it. But Giovanni Bernard now almost seems kind of lost in the shuffle. I think he had two carries. He had a catch or two. And I still think there's an element to Giovanni Bernard that can help this team. Yet there is that balance of what Joe does and how many opportunities Gio gets.
Right, but you and I have talked about it. I think you need a dual threat running backfield in today's NFL. I mean, hell, in today's football.
Yep.
But you know, three is too many. I think we've all agreed that, you know, trying to get equal opportunities for three running backs can't happen. But you do need that change up. You got to have, first of all, because they're Mixon and Geo are a bit of different styles, right? I mean, I think, you know, the great thing about Mixon is he has some of that wiggle and some of that throwing and involved in the pass game stuff, where that's certainly what Geo's game is, even more so maybe than Joe, who can also run with power. So, yeah, you got to be able to bring those fresh guys in. So I think, you know, look, they need to still continue to find a way to utilize Geo.
Still ahead, I want to know, while we're on the theme of the bye and self-scouting, I want you to self-scout what your behavior was like during the bye, what you did. Did you go out of town? Were you a wild and crazy
There's
guy?
There's two types
did
of people in the world, on what they, depending on what they do on buys.
I want to know what type of person you were as we continue. Well, you're a root beer drinker, for one.
Right.
It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW. Close it in on 7 o'clock. We're about to put hour one of two in the books of the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. We are the two wild and crazy root beer float drinkers. Lance McAllister.
We like to live life on the
Rocky
edge, don't we?
I'll give it up to you. That was there's an appreciation with those. There's a beauty to it. There's also like a little kid element. When you drink a root beer float, you feel like a kid, don't you?
Well, yeah, I've just taken a picture. I'm going to put it on Twitter right now, and guess which one is mine and which one is yours.
Well, that's because I'm doing other stuff, and that's because no matter what it was, it'd be gone. It could be like a flaming thing of red ants or something.
That's
you
right.
Just dump the whole thing, it'd be done in a matter of seconds.
Right. Throw it down.
Time to select last week's Reliable Player of the Game, brought to you by Reliable Products. Greater Cincinnati Energy. I'm trying to figure it out, Rock, as we go. Greater Cincinnati Energy Alliance and Pace Financing. Efficient financing for building efficiency. Tyler Croft will go with the Reliable Player of the Game. 4 of 5. 4 catches on 5 targets. Crucial catches. Last 2 weeks, 10 catches on 12 targets. And Burger Brothers is now open 7 days a week until 6 a.m. That's next week. We're going back to the Club 21 burger next week.
Foundation.
Be sure to try the new Club 21 burger that we highly recommend. All right, on the bye, when you were a player, some get away, some get far away, some do wild and crazy things, some get arrested. What did you do? What did you prefer to do on the bye?
Yeah, I mean, there's two different types of people. It's those that say, look, I need to get away from this. I kind of want to unwind and let my hair loose a little bit and kind of go to Vegas, go to an island, go do something like that. And there's the guys that, and I think I'd say more people are like this, especially the older, the more years you've played, is, look, I'm not going to get any more opportunity to rest, relax, get off my feet, watch TV, you know, that sort of thing, see family.
Yeah.
So I was a guy that usually took the bye week and went back home or stayed around the facility, but just enjoyed, like, kind of having nothing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know the coaches prefer that you choose the latter.
Yeah, they don't. The last thing I want is a phone call during the bye at 1 o'clock.
No, that's a coach's worst nightmare because, I mean, they hate bye weeks for that reason. It's like, oh, my God, I'm letting you guys go for – four or five days, and you've earned it, and, you know, go do what you got to do, but they get nervous about it. So hopefully guys make the right choices. And I would say, again, your younger guys, they're feeling good.
Wild
their bodies
free.
Don't hurt. That's
yes.
Right. Yeah, so they're going to maybe take some trips. But I'd say most do the latter.
Before we put the Bills game completely in the books and move into other territory in the 7 o'clock hour, Andy Dalton's performance. Clearly compromised. The ankle was heavily wrapped. You could see the weight transfer on the left-handed, but as he's stepping his front foot on the follow-through, you could see he was almost hopping because of the pain.
Yep.
I think that's one of those games where the rest of your teammates look at you and say, damn, that I respect it. Not that they didn't respect him, but you say, dude, I could tell you were hurting.
No, absolutely.
You delivered a win.
No, absolutely. I mean, he was clearly hurting out there. So, yeah, I'm sure they appreciated the fact that he gutted it out. And, you know, that's a different game. In that kind of conditions, you bring in A.J. McCarron, that's very, very tough. So the fact that he was able to gut that out was great.
And last year, I looked it up, they were 1-6-1, Rock, in games decided by a one score, you know, up to 8 points, touchdown, 2-point conversion. 1-6-1, nothing went their way in close games. I think that the fact they found a way, they fell behind, then found a way, they scored to begin the fourth quarter and held it off. I think there's something there that can linger with the team, that taste of, we got this one, now the next one's going to be a little bit easier.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times I've watched Bengals games the past couple of years, and it's, you know, early in the game, you're like, okay, we're going to win this game, or you know early on, it's just not our day.
Yep.
It was one of those games where, you know, I was texting back and forth with one of my friends. We talked during the game, and, you know, it was early on. I was like, I hate this game. I hate this, everything. And my buddy Andre. But then by, you know, the third quarter, he's like, I love this team. I love the game. So, yeah, it was good to see them come out, not have their best, be able to make some adjustments, come out and win it.
All right, still ahead in hour number two, some other NFL stuff, including something I know intrigues you, the idea that continues to be floated around the NFL. With what we're doing, what we're getting out of the kickoff, is it really worth continuing?
It's such a different play now than it was 10 years ago.
Oh, I can't wait to do that over root beer floats as we continue in hour number two. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show at Belterra Park, the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill, and the home of the best Bengals coverage. News Radio 700 WLW.
Like good old fashioned smash mouth football, right?
This is the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Brought to you in part by Yingling Lager. Respect, it's earned. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals. Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CullenElectricCincinnati.com. Cullen Electric, wiring for today's world. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing, choose a pro, choose Nixco. Skyline Chili, feeling good. It's Skyline time. Lycan's Energy Solutions, powered by Lycan. Belterra Park, one amazing place to play. Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing, changing lives through better hearing. And by Furniture Fair, for style and flair, it's Furniture Fair. This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go. Hour number two on the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Big night, big night. We've all had we've had grilled salmon and vegetables. We've topped it off with root beer floats. We are high rollers tonight. We're having a blast. Tom Puma of Yingling is here. His lovely wife is here. We've got the Yingling Plinko board. We're giving away cool prizes. I think all of iHeartMedia, the movers and shakers and moneymakers are here as well.
It's the people that make it happen, they're right there.
You got that right. It's a big night here at the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show at Belterra Park. A lot of stuff to get to in this hour, including one thing I found of great intrigue, Rock, and I thought of you because you played special teams during your career.
Yes, I did.
So you covered many kickoffs during your career.
Went down a few, yep.
I would be interested in your thoughts on an idea that continues to be floated around the NFL, and we know the concerns of concussions and injuries, and they continue to monitor the kickoff in the NFL. And, you know, they've made the adjustments on the location of the kickoff and the touchback, and the idea was we're going to reduce injuries. And then coaches start saying, well, let's kind of parachute it in. Don't kick into the end zone. Drop it in about the 10-yard line.
Coffin corner.
There you go. And there were more injuries last year on kickoff returns than there were the previous year. And I saw numbers this week from ESPN that said, you know, all things considered, about 64% of kickoffs are touchbacks. Nothing happens. They're just a touchback. And they said you factor in that 36% of the kicks that are returned short of the 20-yard line, and you factor in the average drive start now in the NFL on a kickoff is the 24-yard line, and the idea being considered is, well, what's the return on the investment here? If we're doing kickoffs and nothing really is coming out of it and we're getting guys hurt, maybe we should just get rid of the kickoff. Is that something to consider? Is that too radical? What do you make of the idea of simply eliminating the kickoff? Because, in essence, there's really not much happening on them anymore.
So what has the NFL been all about the last, say, 10 years,
safety,
right? That's one thing, but it's about how can we make the game more exciting,
and excitement,
right?
Yes.
And you and I have talked about how that's one of the better things the NFL does versus baseball. Baseball is kind of rigid. Our history says we do this. We're not changing it. The NFL says, well, you know, the point after touchdown kick is kind of boring. Let's move it back a little bit. Maybe we can get force some teams to try for two. So it's about excitement. They want people to watch. They want, instead of taking the bathroom break or going to get the beer, hey, and watch and consume our product. So the NFL has to be looking at this saying, so if 64% of this particular play, there's no action, it's not entertaining, then with the rest of that part that's made, our guys are getting hurt. And I'd love to see some data on how many penalties there are on kicks.
Great point.
It's unbelievable. You cannot see a punt or especially a kickoff return without a penalty flag being thrown. So you add those three or four things up, and I feel like the NFL, who's very kind of up to, hey, let's progress here a little bit, I feel like they have to look at this and say, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
What is the benefit of doing this right now? People don't like it. Our guys are getting hurt, and it's not entertaining. Why do it?
Yeah, as ESPN's it's Kevin Seifert who wrote about it. He said, in essence, the kickoff it's a gutted play now. Nothing comes out of it. And I know the argument is the pushback will be, well, wait a minute, what about the end of games and the chance to come back and the onside kick and you recover the ball? In this story, they break down, last season, there were a grand total of 7 onside kicks recovered. There were over 2,600 kickoffs in the NFL last year. I don't know how many total onside kicks were tried. Only 7 were recovered. So as he describes it, it's a low percentage play that occurs in the smallest slice of instances in a game. That's not a good enough reason to keep it around.
I think, why not just make it a punt? Start the game with a punt in punt formation. Okay, well, I think that the instances of injury are less than that. Mm-hmm. Because of the nature of the kick, there won't be the collisions and things like that. And then look, if it's the end of the game, you say, look, we're going to line up for an onside kick. You know, you can't kick it deep, you can't whatever, and just kind of, change the rules. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Why would that work?
You know, it's funny you say punt, because one of the scenarios being floated, and it was mentioned in this piece, an option to keep it but tweak it is a formation. Now, imagine this, starting towards, the team is kicking off or punting it. They'll have their choice. You line up 8 guys, and then you line up 2, and then you line up 1 in the end zone. Your formation is 8-2-1. Your 2 cover, if it's kicked towards the sidelines, your 1 is deep in the end zone. And the idea would be you would either kick it off or punt it. There's no running start by your guys. They go on the kick. You know, you don't, as the kickoff, you don't run up, you don't do that. And the other point was,
so essentially, be like how they punt after safety.
It would be, the blocking would be running alongside a guy like a punt, not the collision, the full scale downfield collision of a kick return.
Right, where guys get a 10-yard head start to get up to speed,
so
another 30-yard run.
That kind of is intriguing to me as well. I found this amazing. The Green Bay Packers, I think they played 5 games. They would have played 5 games. The Packers have 1 kickoff return this season.
Wow.
Think about that. Because of the number of touchbacks, 1 kick return the entire season.
That's and you figure how that may change rosters too. If you take the kickoff out of it, now you don't need that extra return guy. You get a cornerback who can return kicks, but then they maybe use that roster spot for what you may need, an extra pass rusher, an extra wide receiver, an extra offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some things that how the game could be changed, but I don't think it'd be drastic enough where people are like, oh, my God, this is terrible. I can't watch this. It's kind of a dead play anyway.
And people this week when I talked about it on Sports Talk, they said, well, what about then they'll lose the commercial break? Well, no, the touchdown will be scored, the extra point will be kicked, they'll still take a commercial break and come back. It's just the team's going to start the ball at the 25-yard line.
Yeah,
there's no kickoff.
They're starting a punt formation, just give them ball at 25 and have at it.
Now, on the subject of injuries.
By the way, our fans are worried about having more commercial breaks. What is that?
That's right. What is that?
You should hope this happens. There's a fifth reason.
That's right. On the subject of injuries, I made this observation, and tell me if I'm crazy, but I think you're going to agree. We've talked before about helmet-to-helmet hits and the concussions and hitting high and what the repercussions are of the league cracking down on that. I watched Tyler Boyd get his knee taken out on the sideline. He was hit helmet to knee as the tackle was made low, and Tyler goes flipping over, and he's got an MCL strain. I saw Clay, the tight end for the Bills, hit low on a tackle at his knee. To me, it seems more and more I'm seeing the injuries from those type of tackles because the strike zone, the target,
Target
has been
changed.
Lowered.
Yeah.
Am I right? And it's that great debate. Would you rather have a concussion and maybe lead to CTE down the road, or would you rather have an MCL sprain, ACL tear, something like that? It's kind of, as they move down, that's where the injuries go.
No, that's exactly right. And again, I had a flashback of you and I talking about this like 3 or 4 years ago on the show.
And that's
what's happening. The issue is, while you're playing, every player would say, hit me in the head, for God's sake, because, I'll take a chance of a concussion, maybe be out a week, but I'm not going to, have a potential career-ending injury the way a knee would be. But then the flip side of that is that same player, when they're 2, 3, 4 years or more retired, now they say, well, no, I don't want the concussion. I would rather. So yep. it's a hard problem the NFL is having to deal with. But there's no question that the strike zone has changed for guys. You can't form tackle a guy. If you're a safety at 205 pounds and Rob Gronkowski's running around, what, are you going to form tackle him? Yeah, right. That sounds great on paper, but it's not realistic. So guys are going to go low, and you're going to get more knee injuries.
Hey, Tuesdays in October, guests age 50 years of age and older receive 25% off a buffet and are eligible to participate in the drawing from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eligible guests receive one free entry and can earn a second entry for 30 tier points. Every half hour, two vouchers will be drawn to select a mystery bonus reward amount off the prize wall from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. It's the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show at Belterra Park, the Stadium Sports Bar, with more to get to as we roll on News Radio 700 WLW. .720 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman. We roll till 8 tonight. Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? Yuengling Lager. Respect. It's earned. Hearing Solutions, now acute hearing, changing lives through better hearing. And again, thanks to Yuengling for their support with the show. They present the Yuengling Live webcam on my blog at 700WLW.com each week, and they have the very cool Yuengling Plinko board. We're giving away excellent prizes in the back. Time to take one final look at last week's Defensive Player of the Game, brought to you by RDI Corporation. Let RDI help you grow and protect your business. Vontaze Burfict, 13 tackles, a sack, 3 tackles for loss, 1 quarterback hit, 1 pass defended. He may have sold concessions at halftime and programs before the game. That dude, he has ramped up into whatever wonderment we had doubts about playing shape after the suspension. He's at full force.
He's delivered, man. I just love the thing about how much he's helping Nick Vigil, too, who's playing great. Love the way he's playing, and to be around that kind of guy who's this is the most, unless you're around it more like you and I are, and you don't hear the coaches rave about Vontaze, but the first thing they talk about is how much he studies and how much of a smart football player he is. He knows formations, he knows tendencies, and to see for Nick Vigil, see a guy like that out there every week is cool.
Let's start. Let's do the defense. Let's start on that defensive line. The defense as a whole, 18 sacks this year, 9 different players. Rock Sunday, 9 different guys on the defensive line. What does it mean? How important is it? And what does it do to an offensive line that is dealing with 9 bodies rotating on a defensive line during a game?
I mean, 2 different things. The biggest one is obviously a fresh body. An offensive linemen aren't coming off the field. So when you play, NFL offenses are running, 65, 70 plays a game, they're not getting a break. When you're rotating a fresh guy, and the other thing is, from a study in your opponent's standpoint, if you're in the offense, you're all week, you're watching, man, how does Michael Johnson like to rush the passer? What does he like to do? Okay, he likes a spin move, he likes this. Well, now if you have to do that for multiple guys, that just adds to your workload. And you're like, oh, my God, now they bring in Carl Lawson. What's he do well? Okay, boom, now the next play, they slide out. Here comes Jordan Willis, more of a power rush guy. So you're constantly being put on your heels of the different styles of each of the rushers.
What Michael Johnson is doing at this stage of his career and moving inside and being effective, almost reinventing himself, speak to me about how difficult that is. I'm trying to imagine what it's like to be operating with nobody on your outside for all of your career, then suddenly you're moving inside and you've got guys on each of you, and I would think that would be tough. He's performed like it's easy, but talk to me about the appreciation.
Yeah, it's almost been a resurgence for him in a lot of respects. It's certainly a different beast being inside. You're getting hit in the face more, inside there than you are on the outside. But I just think most players on the roster, Lance, are you got to be versatile. Unless you're the quarterback, you're A.J. Green, he's got to do one thing really, really well, and he does that one thing well. If you're Vontaze Burfict, you play linebacker well. You don't have to rush and run down on kickoff and punt. But most of the guys got to do a little bit of everything. If you want a roster spot in a day and age, there's 53 players on the roster, only 45 guys are active on game day. So the more you can do, right? And especially as you get older, so it keeps you around the game more. I mean, myself, I made had an 8-year career because I was a good linebacker, but I was a good outside linebacker. I could play middle linebacker. I could play will. I could rush the passer if you needed, and I could play special teams. So you take all those things, and just like any other business out there, if you're looking at two resumes, you're like, well, these guys are kind of equal, but boy, this guy over here, this Lance McAllister guy, he can do sports shows, he can do UC shows, he can do this and that, he can do more. The boss is going to say, I want that guy, because he can give me a lot, right? Yep. And that's kind of what Michael Johnson's embracing right
now. You
know,
it's funny you say that, because I'll get an email a week or so from high school or college students who want to do this for a living, and they say, what advice can you give me? And that's always one of the bullet points. I say, be able to do as many things as possible, because in this day and age, they trust me when I say this, they'll choose the guy who can do 10 things pretty well over the guy who may be excellent at one or two, because they want bang for their buck. Budgets are the way they are. They want to be able to, and you made the perfect analogy for radio, whether it's hosting a talk show like this, whether it's doing play-by-play, whether it's doing a sports cast, whether it's being out on the field doing interview, the more you can do, the more valuable you are. And that's what, and I'll add Andre Smith to that. Andre Smith now, yeah, at this stage of his career, is rotating between left and right tackle. He'd never played, or hadn't played left tackle since high school, Rock. He's now doing that, and he told us on Monday night, it's making, as Dave Lapham pointed out to him, he's extending his career right now by being able to play two tackle spots.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many guys that can get away with doing one thing. And here's the thing is, as you go further in age, your skill level at whatever you do best is going to deteriorate a little bit more every year. And at some point, if you're no longer that explosive guy, you look around like, well, there's nothing else he can do. He's not the same player he was three years ago.
One trick pony.
So we got to move on. We got to get someone else. That's how guys can squeeze it. Yeah, perfect example, Andre Smith. He's going to squeeze out another 2, 3, 4 more years out of his career.
I had a tweet this week about Carlos Dunlap, and the tweet was a question. It was an opinion.
Nothing good happens on Twitter.
And it was, why isn't Carlos Dunlap doing anything? I'm paraphrasing. He said, what's wrong with Carlos Dunlap, or if nothing's wrong, explain why I don't see much production from him. And Carlos has one sack, but, and I looked it up through our friends at Pro Football Focus, he leads the NFL in quarterback hurries. He's caused 19 hurries this year. He's tied for 6th in the NFL in times hitting the quarterback. And overall, he's the 15th best-rated defensive end out of a game with 32 teams, 2 defensive ends, 64 guys. So it's better than what that individual on Twitter thought. My point is there not something to be said for it? I think the danger is being married to, it's like baseball, don't be married to the RBI. There's so much other stuff going on besides the RBI that you can't control.
Period.
Don't be married to the sack, because the sack isn't the be-all, end-all. It's great, but there's a lot more to defense and disruption than just getting a sack, right?
Especially in today's football, where the quarterback is getting the ball out of his hand much, much faster than they were 10 years ago. So it's even hard to compare those stats. So, yeah, it's more the eyeball test. You look out there, you see Dunlap. He's playing at a pretty high level. Now, he's not a player of the year candidate, but he's playing at a high level right now.
And while he's missed a sack or two, what he's doing has a domino effect on the opposite end or the rest of the guys on that line who may be freed up to do their damage, right?
And it all goes hand in hand. His team's focused on him, and he's been a great defensive lineman around here for a few years. His defense is focused on him. It's opened up more opportunities for the Lawsons and the Johnsons. He's moved inside, and Jordan Willis. But now as those guys produce more, now the focus shifts back over them, and I guarantee you, as sure as I'm sitting here, Dunlap's going to get some of those stats. He's going to get some of those sacks and some of those numbers as that tide shifts kind of back the other way.
The Bengals sit at 2-3, and I'm glancing at the AFC standings this week, and one thing jumped out to me. While 2-3 is not great, 2-3 this year is different from this standpoint. Rock, there's 16 teams in the AFC, and 12 of those teams have either 2 losses or 3 losses. My point is, there's a big bloated blob in the middle of the AFC, and the Bengals are right in that blob. There's your Kansas City up top, there's your Browns on the bottom, there's a Denver at 3-1, but that being in that blob means you're in the AFC, and as we've spoken, you're also in the AFC North right now.
I'll say the AFC North in particular is very average.
Absolutely. The Steelers appear mortal with a little bit of chaos, whether it's Anthem stuff or Ben throwing five picks or wondering if he's still got it or whatever.
That's right.
You're still, even at 2-3, you're trending the right way, and your division is still in play, and the wild card of the AFC would still be in play. So it's just amazing how different the tone is from the first 3 weeks of this season.
Well, and I mean, every year is different. You know, you go back a couple years ago, and, you know, I mean, back when I played, you know, we would start off 9-0, and the Patriots would start off 9-0, and we'd be playing. Those days, at least this year, are over. It's a lot of kind of teams that are good, but no real dominant teams other than Kansas City.
When we continue, I want to Casey is taking his first college visit tomorrow, and while he's not a McDonald's All-American basketball player or a Gatorade player of the year football, we're just going to look at it from an academic standpoint. I want you to relive your campus visit, the schools you visited,
and your recruiting process.
And what went on. All right, and I want to ask you what you would tell frustrated UC fans. Dealing with the early stages of the Luke Fickell era. It is all ahead. Luke Fickell show coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on News Radio 700 WLW. 7:36, News Radio 700 WLW. Let's check the early odds for this week's games presented by Rising Star Casino and Resort. Play, stay, and get away at Rising Star Casino and Resort in Rising Sun, Indiana. We'll take a look at three games with the Bengals on the bye. Cleveland is at Houston on Sunday. The Browns are a 9.5-point favorite. Baltimore home to Chicago. Baltimore a 6.5-point favorite. And the Steelers go on the road to Kansas City, where the Chiefs are a 4.5-point home favorite. We're back on the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman. We roll till 8. Luke Fickell Show coming up at 8:05 here on News Radio 700 WLW. We remind you, Sunday nights at Market Buffet, enjoy the special steak, shrimp, and barbecue from 4 to 8 p.m. Ooh, we should do that. We should come here and watch a Bengals game and then enjoy the steak and shrimp and barbecue 4 to 8 at the Market Buffet.
Sounds good.
Friday nights at Market Buffet, all you can eat crab legs from 4 to 9 p.m. All right, as I said, I'm off tomorrow. Casey's out of school tomorrow. We're taking a college visit. It's an all-day-long thing at UC. He's going to tour classes and eat lunch and all sorts of orientation stuff. And I got him on campus early on Saturday to tailgate for the UC football game, and I made sure he walked past the newly being built Lindner Business School. It's a $120 million building, so it was like soft. It was like the soft press, soft sell to him. Like, oh, look at this. This will be ready by your sophomore year if you wind up at UC. But take me back, and you've told me this before, and I can't remember the schools. How many schools did you visit? How many did you make recruiting visits to?
I only did three unofficial visits. I mean, three different schools I had unofficial visits. Notre Dame, which I also had an official visit, the only one. I had three unofficial visits to Michigan, and I had one unofficial visit to Indiana.
Michigan, Indiana, and Notre Dame.
Right, and I went to Indiana because I wasn't going to go there, but it brought me in to see a Bobby Knight basketball game.
Really?
So I went down there. Me and Steve
Spence
went down
there. That's awesome.
Got to watch Coach, and he had the whole deal, man. He was in the stands. He was pissed about a call, so he's sitting in the stands eating popcorn with his fan. It was great. It was awesome.
So you and Steve Specht.
Yeah,
wow.
I went down there with Steve Specht. Yeah, absolutely.
That is cool. Really cool.
It was 1997.
Yeah, but it was Notre Dame all the way.
Notre Dame all the way, yeah. I only had one official visit.
Now, on an official visit, what takes place?
Drinking. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to ask women. No. Right, give me the clean version of what takes place.
No, it's cool. Like,
don't commit any NCAA violations.
Yeah, they usually pair you up with another
hot girl
player.
Two? One on each arm?
One? No. what are we doing?
I think I've got you all discombobulated.
It's time for a break yet. Usually pair you up with a player. And they kind of take you out, and you hang out, and you go out.
Did you go to coaches? Studies?
No, we went to, what was it called? Went to
Linebacker Corby's Lounge?
No, we didn't go to Linebacker. Went to Corby's and went to, what was this other place called? They specialize in underage excellence there, if you know what I mean. You could get in at, anyway. So you do all that, and then, you know, the next morning at like 9 is like, you know, on Sunday morning is breakfast at Bob Davies' house.
I've got you reeling. This
you
is
do,
beautiful.
Man. This is terrible
this
radio.
Is
or
beautiful.
Radio. But yeah, so you get to, there's no really touring of the campus. You hang out, you see the facilities and all that, but then, you know, pair you up with a player and you experience college for a weekend. It's a beautiful.
Take your
thing.
Cash payment and go home.
There you go. That's right.
Your bag of cash.
Shut
we will
up.
Not be podcasting any of this. Give me a message to UC fans. I was there Saturday night. There were some, not a lot, not many, but there were some voicing their frustrations for what is taking place with UC football at this moment. Saturday was difficult to watch. They allowed 51 points in three quarters. Mercifully, the skies opened up and the winds were blowing and they called the game. There wasn't a fourth quarter. But I kind of looked around and I wanted to say to everybody, hang on here. There's a lot that was left behind by a guy I really don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about, but he packed it in. And he left a lot behind for Luke Fickell to deal with. And I'm not making excuses for Luke. It's just the reality of this is going to take a couple of years and a couple of recruiting classes.
It is. And, Lance, look, we live in an instant gratification society, right? If you don't like – if you're not playing well in the video game, what do? You hit the reset button. If you don't like what's on TV, bam, you go to your Netflix on your tablet. We don't like to wait for anything. And we've never liked to wait for – success in sports, but especially in today's climate. But it's going to take a while. I firmly believe that Luke Fickell is the right coach. I've known about him for a while. I've known a lot of people around him. I know him. And he's going to do good things. But to your point, he's not a total miracle worker. It's going to take time when the recruiting level maybe wasn't there and the development wasn't there. He's got two things kind of working against him here. It's, you know, some coaches, you know, they recruit, but they can't develop. Some coaches, you know, they don't really recruit well, but they do well developing. The last guy, at least the last couple of years, didn't do either well.
Yeah.
So that's going to take a little bit of time, which none of us want to admit, but that's the reality.
The early signs are Luke didn't take the job until December the 10th, but he quickly put together what turned out to be the number one rated recruiting class in the American Conference this past season. The one he's working on right now, according to Bearcat Journal, is rated number one. There's inroads being made. The most important thing to me, there's a connection being made, a reconnection. I always call it like the plug being put back in the wall with this area, the coaches around the area, the players around the area. Tommy Tuberville had turned his back and turned out this area, and Luke Fickell has re-energized this area. That's going to be a help.
And it's a very good point you made, because recruiting is about relationships. And when those relationships locally haven't been cultivated, you know, all of a sudden you walk in day one, you walk into, you know, Wynton Woods High School, and the coach is like, yo, we haven't seen you guys in a while. There's not that rapport of, hey, who you got, coach, and this and that. So there's going to be a little bit of feeling out of that. There's going to be a little bit of relationship building. And that takes a little bit of time, unfortunately. But I know he's doing those things, making a priority to get in and talk with these coaches and see who they got and get some good, honest feedback.
This season, for every Kevin Huber punt downed inside the 20-yard line, EverDry Waterproofing will make a charitable donation in Kevin's name. EverDry Waterproofing, they'll fix it permanently. Kevin, four punts for an average of 46.8. Three more of those inside the 20-yard line this weekend. Up next, let's travel Rockies Road. You've been busy. You've been here, there, and everywhere.
Yep.
I want notes and tidbits from your broadcast last weekend, last night, and what's ahead this weekend as we continue. He's Rocky Boyman. I'm Lance McAllister. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar and Grill on News Radio 700 WLW. 7:47 on News Radio 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Time to review last week's Performance Kings Honda Performer of the Week, brought to you by Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face every customer, every vehicle, every day. We'll go with Andy Dalton, bad ankle and all. He completes 5 of 6 in the final drive of the game, including on that drive a scramble for 5 yards that set up a first down. And we'll salute Carl Lawson, the Environmental Demolition Group Player of the Week. Environmental Demolition Group, your single-source environmental and specialized demolition service company. Go to edgellc.biz.
Tell me about the thing with Carl Lawson.
I was just reminded this. Okay. I love this stuff.
This is good.
We're talking with Andre Smith Monday night on Bengals Line, and I ask him about I asked him first about coming back and what it was like and making the adjustments, and he made an interesting point. He said his confidence was low early in camp because he was playing guard at the time, but he was also at times going up against Carl Lawson. And he said, my confidence took a hit, but as I've watched Carl in the regular season, I see he's doing that to everybody, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then he said the thing he loves about Carl Lawson, as they're walking around the facility inside Paul Brown Stadium, he sees Carl Lawson working on his pass rushing moves all the time. He'll be walking down the hallways, moving his arms like swim moves, and very just like,
yeah, like you walk past somebody, boom, you kind of do a swim move or a rip. I've seen
Andre
guys do
said
that,
he's
yeah.
never seen that before, but he has such an appreciation for the desire to get better and the hunger of Carl Lawson that he's always working on moves as he's walking down the hallway.
Dude, I mean, isn't that just such a breath of fresh air in this
yes.
day and age where it's, you know, at least players and Odell Beckham Jr. on their Instagram, their Twitter, it's all a big show. That this dude is about ball. I mean, if you're a fan, you got to love that. Those were my favorite stories of this whole offseason about learning about Carl Lawson. Is maybe it was you asking what his hobbies were, and he said football.
James right? Rapine talked
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, that's exactly
I
right.
I do football.
Yeah, I do football. And that's magnificent. That's the kind of guy that, you know, the Bengals wish they had 52 other guys like that.
And to so think he lasted to the fourth round.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. But they saw something in him, and that's a huge thing. You got to love the sport of football. You got to love the game, you got to love the process. You can't just love the results. And I think Carl Lawson loves the game, and he loves the process. He loves working on his pass rush moves. He doesn't just do it because he can get paid a big contract and all that stuff. That's not a good way to go about life. If you only worry about the results, and no matter what you do, if you only really worry about the results, you know, it's not going to work out well. But if you worry about the process and you love it and you yeah. love lifting weights or you love crunching numbers in your accounting job, whatever it is, the results will take care of themselves.
Let's travel Rocky's Road before we're out of here. You've been busy. Let's take us back to Saturday. I can't even remember where you – I don't know if you remember where you were on Saturday.
Where was I on Saturday?
I know where you were last night. Who did you do? Do you remember who you did on – you did
Wake Forest at Clemson.
Oh, that's right. I watched that.
Week.
Yes, I watched that.
It was good.
Yes.
Oh,
because you touched the rock. You took
I
the
did.
Pictures.
Just
the rock on the hill.
See,
yeah.
I
well,
you. See?
It well, good. It's a like a
it's
monument.
Iconic.
It's yes.
Just so I don't know if you heard the build up during the game, but that thing is protected by a bulletproof piece of like glass.
Really?
Like a cake, and it's like an inch and a half, 2 inches thick. Because it got vandalized a couple years
now,
ago.
Now, for those who don't know, paint the picture of where it's coming out of the players touch it as
right.
they walk
so,
down.
So the rock is almost at street level, and then the stadium is like way down, like
yes.
sunk down way into the ground. But to get to the field, the players run down this hill that I wouldn't run down for all the money in the world. It's so steep, but Howard's Rock is right there, and it's a big iconic thing for Clemson. And, you know, it's like a tradition where you touch it
yep.
as you go down. But, yeah, it got vandalized a few years ago, so it has 24-hour surveillance on it. There's a
wow.
guard guarding this rock, and it has a bulletproof case
I
around
love that.
It. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right. Now, last night, you were – did you any other notes from that game, or should we go to Troy last
no,
night?
No, Clemson is really, really,
really
good. Really
good.
Yeah. Really good. Defensive line is good. Linebackers are great. You know, in the quarterback, and he had the ankle injury. I don't know how – hopefully that'll be okay, but really good team.
Last night you saw Fun Belt Sun Belt.
Yeah,
you saw Troy versus
South Alabama.
South Alabama, and
so,
you've seen Troy look good at times this year. And
yeah,
last
I mean,
night,
a week
and,
ago they yeah. had arguably the biggest upset of the entire college football season when they went into LSU. LSU paid them just shy of $1 million to come into their house and put the spanking on them. And so, you know, Neil Brown, 37-year-old coach. He's from the Howl Mummy, Air Raid Tree, Mike Leach, all that stuff. And he's the next up-and-coming name, and blah, blah, blah. And then they go and they lay an egg versus South Alabama. And, you know, no one knows much about South Alabama, but I like that coach there, Joey Jones. His back was against the wall, man. He's no contract, you know, coming in this year.
Big
we're going to kind of
yep.
wait and see here. And he came out and got a big win. So it was fun. It was a fun, weird game, kind of sloppy at first, but then it turned out to be really fun.
So you were at what airport at what time this morning?
I was at the Montgomery, Alabama airport at 5:50 this morning.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
Came back and then hit Atlanta, come back here to the show, come down here.
Where are you Saturday?
Leave tomorrow. We go at Texas A&M at Florida.
Ooh,
my first trip to the Swamp.
Be a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Night
now,
game.
Who has it? Is that ESPN?
That'll be on 2.
2.
ESPN 2, 7 p.m. on Saturday night.
Nice.
And, same thing. Two teams backs against the wall here. We had some, you know, Florida had, they got beat up bad by Michigan opening game of the season. Then they lost to LSU last week by 1 point and missed extra point. A&M had that awful, the worst loss of the year versus UCLA. But they, each team is young and they got good players, and it's kind of like next year might be their year, but this is going to kind of determine coaching, that sort of stuff. So it'll be a great game.
In conclusion, you went to a pumpkin patch over the weekend, and you appeared to me to pick out a pumpkin. Talk about the great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. This thing had to weigh 20 pounds?
It was 88 pounds.
It was 88 pounds.
88 pounds. I got the sticker.
And you did what? Did you put it in the trunk of your car? What
would you? Picked it up and put it in the trunk.
Have you carved it? Or are you going to carve it? Is it just
It would take a chainsaw to carve. It's just we kind of got like the thing down the bottom of the driveway, like the big pumpkin. We got some smaller pumpkins, some gourds, and some ears of corn. This is the stuff I'm into anymore, man. I'm sad. I'm so sad.
For the record, Rock is
I used
into
to play ball. I swear to God, I used to do cool stuff.
And large pumpkins. That'd be a good like profile on your
man
your social media page. I'm Rocky Boyman. I have a Super Bowl ring. I drink root beer and I buy large pumpkins.
Like pumpkins. No, it was there. It was right there. It was like, you know, go so hard you or thought, go
hey,
home,
hell,
man.
88-pound pumpkin.
You only live
it.
Once. And I said, that thing's coming home with us.
We got to get out of here. This was a blast. We should do this again. How about next week?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right, thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Thanks to Yuengling tonight. We love Yuengling helping do what we do each week as well. We thank Belterra Park for the treatment each week. It's been the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, on the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW.